Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new The Hacker Factory podcast with hacker maker Philip Wiley. You're about to discover what the role of a professional hacker entails, the different specializations it holds, and what it takes to learn and become one. Enjoy the conversation as Philip and guests unveil the secrets of professional hacking. A mysterious, intriguing, and often misunderstood occupation. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hacker Factory podcast. I'm your host, Philip Wiley. I refer to myself as the Hacker Maker because I'm passionate about teaching, mentoring, and helping others get started in offensive cybersecurity, pen testing, bug bounty, security research, and all things offensive cybersecurity. Each episode, I have a really cool guest on, and today is no exception. One of my heroes and one of the people I respect very highly in the community, Dave Kennedy. Thanks for joining, Dave.
Hey, Philip. Thanks so much, one, for all that you do, for doing this podcast, but everything else you do for teaching and mentoring folks. It's amazing, and my pleasure to be on this podcast. Look forward to it.
Thanks, and thanks for the kind words. Most people are going to know who you are, but a lot of the people that listen to the show are just getting started. So could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name's Dave Kennedy. I've been in the security industry for over 20 years, which means I'm getting old. But started my career off working for the military intelligence side of the house, doing cyber warfare. Been everything from a chief security officer for a Fortune 1000 company. I like to consider myself one of the real first hacker CISOs out there that got those positions. A lot of times they were, hackers were, mostly in the weeds and everything else. And I was able to kind of get into a CISO position and run a really successful security program, which was really cool. But always stayed very technical. I'm the author of the Social Engineer Toolkit, Magic Unicorn, the Pen Testers Framework, co-authored the book, Metasploit, the Penetration Testers Guide. Very active in the community, helping folks out, getting into the industry, as well as really trying to, help the industry grow in a positive way to help protect folks. I'm also the CEO and founder of Binary Defense and TrustedSec, information security consulting company and a managed security provider. Enjoy the security industry and really helping folks out. And, a couple other tidbits. I'm on the news all the time. I've testified in front of Congress and I've been in a rap video before. So, and I helped out with the TV show, Mr. Robot. So been a fun career. Who would have thought computer nerd all those things, but somehow it worked.
Yeah. The rap video. I didn't hear about that. So what video was that?
So I just want to precursor that it's not safe for work. Okay. and it's a Chris Brown / Zoe Dalla's video called Post and Delete. So if you look up Chris Brown Post and Delete, you'll see the video. And it's actually a really funny story. So I've been helping out consult with the Mr. Robot TV show. And, we at TrustedSec, we kind of have a lead gen inbound thing where you can contact us from our website and stuff like that. And one of our sales folks, Chris, he contacts me. He's like, hey, this could be fake, but someone wants you to fly out to LA tomorrow to shoot a video for Chris Brown. And I'm like, what? Like, really? Like, that is that really a thing? Like, and so I get on the phone and they're like, yeah, listen, we have no idea anything about this hacking stuff. We want you to help with the skits and the stunts. And I'm like, well, I'll help out with it if I can be in the video. And they're like, oh, yeah, for sure. Come on. You'll be happy to put you in the video. So literally, I flew out to LA the next day and I, did a bunch of coding. And it was actually around the same. The whole premise was that, Chris Brown had broken up with Zoe and Chris had broken up with their girlfriends and wanted to delete all of the photos off of their phones. That's why it's called Post and Delete. And so I was the hacker that was helping them in the background basically hack into their phones. And I used I think it was like stage fright at the time to run an Android exploit against her phone, which, compromised, and you could see all the photos thing. And it was running a code in the background and everything else. So I did all the skits and stunts for it. It was actually a really, really interesting experience. And, you know, got to meet them and hang out with them and stuff like that. And it was a long day. But ultimately at the end of the day, I was in a rap video. So
that's pretty cool. I misunderstood at first. I thought you said rat, like the RAT, the band Rat, but oh, the rap video I gotcha. See. Yeah.
Rap video. Yes.
That's cool. Yeah. Cause I thought, yeah, that would have been, I couldn't imagine that because I thought their band, they were kind of out of the mainstream for a while. So that kind of surprised. That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's one of the things that I didn't know about you. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, don't watch that video at work. It's not
good. Okay. Yeah, usually rap videos, you have to be kind of careful with that stuff. So yeah, that's pretty cool too. And one of the things I liked that you did too was your DerbyCon conferences. I was fortunate enough to go to the last two conferences. And one of the things I liked about that, I mean, I'm a big fan of DEF CON, but I liked that there were less people, it was less crowded. The venues that you picked in the area, there was great food and stuff too. So
yeah.
So if you want to talk a little bit about that, that would be cool.
Yeah, DerbyCon really spawned off from exactly what you said there. You know, when I first got into the security industry, DEF CON was relatively new. I think I came in at like DEF CON 7, you know. And so the security industry was relatively newer, wasn't huge, you know, massive crowds in Vegas that we see today. And what I really enjoyed about DEF CON was that sense of community, right? You know, I got to meet like Phil Zimmerman and the Cult of the Dead Cows and the Shmoo Group and all my heroes that I idolized, you know, kind of growing into this industry about like folks that, you know, I was like, man, I can never be like them. They're the most amazing folks ever. You know, they're basically paving the way forward for security and everything else in the earlier forefronts. And that was really inspirational to my career and who I wanted to be. You know, as I went through this whole thing. And so, you know, that spark, you know, that DEF CON had then, and it still does now, it's just at a very different scale, right? You know, really was the thing for DerbyCon. We decided to start DerbyCon to really bring back that community feel, kind of tighten it, piece and keep it at a smaller rate. And I really fell in love with the 4th Street Live downtown Kentucky area because, you know, everything you could walk to, right? You know, and you would see friends that you didn't see for a while or just happen to stumble upon people, just a great party area too for afterwards. And it just really became, you know, a really community family centric, you know, conference to really bring in new folks to the security industry. You know, we had so many first time speakers that have never spoken before at a conference that had just gotten in. We had a new to InfoSec track. We had, you know, offensive, defensive tracks, you know, everything you could possibly imagine. It was really tailored around all aspects around information security. And, you know, I think, you know, from a culture perspective, a conference takes, you know, hold of what you want it to be. You have control over that. And really the culture that we wanted from DerbyCon was, you know, everybody was welcome, you know, to DerbyCon. And, you know, regardless if you're new, whether, you know, race, gender, religion, doesn't make a difference. We're all equals. We're all, you know, coming to this to really, you know, figure security out and to get new people into the industry to help make it and grow it. And that's really what we were about. And it was really successful. You know, the first year we were hoping to get 500 people or else I was going to take a second mortgage out of my house. And we got, you know, 1300. And then the second year kind of grew and grew. And then, you know, eventually we moved to the Marriott and we decided at that point in time, that's as most capacity we were going to take. We weren't going to grow any bigger than that, which actually kind of sucked because it would sell out so fast. But then, you know, eventually we decided to kind of move on and, you know, became such a large undertaking. It was time to kind of move on. And so DerbyCon 9 was our last one, which was 2 years ago. Definitely miss it. It was an amazing experience. I had some great memories there. Things I'll remember for the rest of my life and hopefully others do too. But it was just a great, the community, the people, met so many new people there. I became friends with them. You know, it's just incredible experiences, right?
Yeah. One of the things I'll say about, I'm glad I got to go to the last two. One of the things I'll say that it's too bad for people that had to miss out, but on the same time too, the people that did miss out don't know what they're missing. So that I think for a lot of us that have been really missed it. So the last one was really pretty cool because this is the first time I got to meet you because I came up, introduced myself and shook your hand because you'd actually let or Benton volunteered his time to do one of a workshop at one of the Pwn School meetings, which I thought was pretty cool. And that's one of the things I love about your company and yourself, the way you are so big on community. You know, some companies are more, it's more about the money if they're not making money at it, but I really love the way that you and your company really put a focus on the people in the community.
Yeah, that's you know, when you talk about going back to culture, you know, when we look at, you know, as a company, we're growing like leaps and bounds, which is great. You know, but one of the things that, you know, is a promise to me and to my employees is that one, we'll never lose our culture. You know, we always focus on doing what's right for people first, and we're not going to lose that community aspect of things, because those are the two most important things that I want to accomplish, you know, out of life, right? You know, having people that I work with that I love working with, that are friends, colleagues that I know, as well as helping others out that are coming into this industry, you know, helping locally in our communities from a charity perspective or just time and effort, just giving back to what we can do. And that's extremely important, you know, as part of our mission. And TrustedSec is very much in that same thing. And you can see that too, like, you know, what I'll hear from a lot of folks coming into TrustedSec is like, wow, this place is like so open. You can ask anybody any questions and they're willing to drop what they're doing to go and help. And there's sharing and collaboration and innovation and all sorts of stuff happening. You know, that just creates an amazing organization, where you empower your folks to be able to make decisions, to be able to do awesome things. And that's really important, right? You know, we're all people, and people are the most important aspect of our day-to-day lives. It's not the work, it's not the money, it's not anything else. It's the people that we work with, and the impression that you make on them. So, you know, that's always been an important piece that we had at DerbyCon, you know, that we have at our companies, and always giving back to the community is number one.
Yeah. And it seems like you guys really put a focus on having a good time at work too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yes, we do. We just, we made Justin Elzey the hacking Nostradamus today. So we photoshopped a picture of his face on Nostradamus as the InfoSec Nostradamus, because he always predicts something that's going to happen, and he's always right. So, you know, we like to be goofballs and have a good time and all our stuff. But, you know, we also we just recently, you know, we came from being a really small company that I started literally in the basement of my house with, you know, three brand new kids, you know, that had just had had as a family, starting a brand new family. Great time to start a new business, by the way. Let me throw that out there. You know, and you know, we had gone through, you know, one person, two people, et cetera. Now we're well over 100. And what's crazy about that is, you know, when you look at what we've been able to accomplish, we're not done yet. We want to continue to foster new people coming in. So we just released our junior program, where we have an entirely dedicated section of TrustedSec where we bring in folks that are brand new to the industry, and teach them from the ground up of everything that they know, whether they've been to college or not, or whatever it ends up being, really getting them into security, you know, teaching them, and then hopefully, you know, obviously hiring them. We had two folks that we kind of piloted this for from a success program, Logan and Kelsey. And, you know, Kelsey came from Kent State University. She, you know, is now a senior at TrustedSec and has, you know, grown through the ranks. Same thing for Logan, just got moved to the red team. You know, we've had a lot of success with bringing new folks into the industry, teaching them, training them, and then, you know, obviously giving them some great opportunities to work with us, or, you know, sourcing the rest of the security industry as well. And we want to continue to grow that out, and to really make that a replicable thing for other companies to be able to incorporate too, because it's so important to get new folks in. The big thing that we see, a good example is, you know, we'll post a position for a senior consultant and we'll get, you know, 50 to 60 resumes. When we post a junior position, we'll get 900 resumes. And it's just that big gap of skilled people in between there, everything from staff that are somewhat seasoned all the way to, you know, more senior level folks. There's just a big shortage of already established individuals in this industry. And we got to fix that gap, you know, very quickly. And that's an important mission for us.
That's good, because that's one of the things that's important to me. I find that, you know, there's such a big shortage in the industry, but a lot of companies aren't willing to take a chance. I mean, yeah. I think if companies could start offering like apprenticeships and stuff like that, because one of my experiences is teaching at a college and mentoring folks is that the people that get the internships are going to find a job in cybersecurity, but people that don't, it's going to take a little more time, because my wife, she went through an internship and ended up getting hired on at the company she works at. So that's great to see that. I'd like to see more people doing that in industry. What would you kind of recommend for someone that's trying to get started, you know, with, you know, your company, fortunately, you do things like that. Is there anything that you'd recommend for people that are trying to get their foot in the door, get their first job?
Yeah, it's really about standing out. That's important. It's not about certifications or college degrees. I mean, don't get me wrong, things like that. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go get a college degree, right? You know, there are things that can help bolster your story that you tell an organization you want to do. The way that we typically hire is when we can understand what your passion is, and that's a big thing. You know, are you teachable and coachable, and you know, is your passion to better yourself in learning in this industry, right? And that's hard to get through on a piece of paper. And so, you know, we really try to interview folks, but when you have 900 submissions, that's not possible, right? There's no way for us to be able to go and do 900 interviews. It would take years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what we have to do is try to identify folks that really stand out from the others. You know, if we have five positions we're filling out of 900, those aren't great odds, right? And we want to grow that, by the way. We want to have 50 positions, you know, that we're putting in and bring into this program eventually, but we can't do that yet. So, you know, the biggest thing I would say is try to show your passion for security and your desire to be successful in security in those resumes. It's not about your experience is important, and we'll look through that, right? But, you know, do you have a GitHub page where you've tried to figure out some coding things or solve some problems? It doesn't mean that it has to be this amazing application that you wrote that's going to change the world. You know, it really is going above and beyond and just figuring things out. You know, hey, have you done capture the flags? You know, have you, you know, gone and studied for like the OSCP, for example, or a different certification? You know, it doesn't mean you've taken it, but, you know, again, just going through those things to be able to say like, hey, I've done all this on my own. I go home and I study and I look at this and I do that and I do this and I'm so excited about security and I just want the opportunity to be successful. And those are the type of folks that will be substantially different. And a cover letter can be a very good way of doing that, right? You know, hey, you know, TrustedSec is the most amazing company in the world. Thank you. You know, I appreciate it. You know, but taking that out aside, you know, look, saying, okay, well, here's my passions, here's my skills, and here's everything that I do, right? And here's why I think I'm this type of person to be successful in your organization. That goes a long way with people reading that, because we do read them all, you know. But if you're here, and you have, you know, a little bit of Metasploit experience and a little bit of MF experience, and somebody else has a little bit of MF experience, a little bit of Metasploit experience, but they also do capture the flags and they learn burp on their own and they've gone through all these things and they've done this and this and that, who's going to stand out more? Right? The passion's definitely going to show through on that other one. So I think that that's important. If you have people that know, you know, you like for example, if there's an employee that works at TrustedSec that you happen to know, reach out to them and say, hey, I'm trying to get a, you know, position here. Would you give me like a referral? You know, and I get that all the time. Like, hey, you know, I'm applying for TrustedSec. I'm like, awesome. Listen, I don't handle, I don't have the yes or no to approve you. You know, it's for a specific, you know, division or, you know, a group, and they run it, but I definitely will put in a good word for you as that goes in. So those types of things can also go really big, but I think it's really that passion that we're looking for in an individual. We know that you're not going to know everything, you know, coming out of high school or just, you know, 1 year of experience in the industry or coming out of college. We know you're not going to know everything that there is to know. That's, you know, you're just starting your career off, but that drive and passion that you have to be successful, that is absolutely something we can't teach.
Very cool. Great advice there. And I like the passion piece because actually I was working in AppSec and I applied for my first pen testing job, and the hiring manager, I, you know, shared with him how I had home labs and how prior to InfoSec that I did web design, built a Apache web server, we're hosting my customers' websites at home.
Yeah.
He heard that stuff and he was one of these people that says build. He wasn't telling us to go out and take OSCP course or anything like that. He was saying build stuff, and that was his philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, applied hands-on experience for you figuring things out is a direct demonstration that you will be successful in that position, right? And that's definitely something like no certification can replicate. You know, the only one that's closest is like the OSCP, because you actually have to go in and actually do it, right? But at the end of the day, you know, certifications are certifications. Your drive and passion is something that we can't teach. There's a story that I remember. You know, I was this was at a different company, and there was an individual that was running really small IT for very small companies, like as a consultant by himself. You know, like I like, you know, like maybe 3 or 4 or 5 people, right? Had no security experience whatsoever, and applied for being a staff penetration tester at this organization. And I sat down with him, and he had no security experience whatsoever, applied. But you can tell, like, I was talking to him, and the spark in his eye that he was even sitting at that table talking to me, and I had a potential to switch his career to something that he desired. You can tell he was just, like, trembling in like, excitement. And he talked about how he'd go home, and he'd, you know, research, he'd read the Hacking Exposed books, he built his own labs, he had done this, he had done that, he was getting into Python, and you know, like, you can tell that he was all focused in as this was his career path. He was doing anything he possibly could to get there. And we hired him, and he ended up being one of the best testers that we had ever hired because of his drive and passion, right? And that's really, again, you can't teach that. If you don't have that drive and passion, you may be in the wrong industry, right? And I'm not saying you have to be a workaholic. That's not what I'm saying at all. You want family time, you want time to live your life and everything else. But if you want to be highly successful at your career, you need to put in the time to learn, right? And it's not going to be given to you. It's something that you have to tangibly do. And if you have that passion and drive, you're going to be successful.
Great advice. And kind of continue on the career path. What would you recommend for someone that wanted to get a job as a penetration tester? What would that education path be like?
For one, I really like consulting at first. Some people might not. For me, I kind of started my career off in the military side of the house, which is also really great. But I landed right into consulting. And one thing I liked about consulting was I got to experience vast different systems. And it was like a flood of information in my brain at a given time. I had to learn continuously new things, new ways of doing certain things, doing things better or different. It was like drinking from a fire hose all the time, which really skyrocketed me in my career. I think I gained more in 5 years in consulting than I would have 15, you know, working for a single organization. So if you're early in your career and you're looking at getting into it, you know, try to find a consulting shop that's looking for, you know, interns or juniors or staffs. That is a great way of learning from a lot of different people that are smart, that are doing this type of stuff already, to learn from them and to get the skills of the trade that you're going to need to be able to do it. So that's one piece. You know, I think, you know, starting off and going through, you know, one thing I think a lot of people and candidates that we go through lack, and this is coming out of college too, by the way, is fundamentals. Understanding, you know, core networking, routing, subnetting, operating systems, group policy, Active Directory, cloud infrastructure, you name it, you know, applications, you know, getting an understanding around foundational technology principles is important. So if you want to get in security, it might, you know, be a good fit to go into IT for a little bit, learn some of the ropes there, and then, you know, bridge over. Some of the best pen testers that we have been former systems administrators or IT admins, you know, and sometimes you have to weigh those options because, you know, if you're going to go into IT and you're going to spend 3 to 5 years, you're going to have to make a career jump, which is probably going to be potentially a pay cut or something like that. So you need to weigh those in as you're going through it. But to bounce right into pen testing, I would really try to go into the consulting fields, or if you're finding a, you know, fairly large organization that has a dedicated red team or pen testing team, you know, those are great areas. And red teaming, I shouldn't have said red teaming, because red teaming is more of a multi-year path to progression, kind of, you know, more of the higher end senior folks. But the pen testing side, for sure, absolutely, you know, try to find a place that will grow those skills for you.
Yeah, great advice. I spent the first 5 years of my pen testing career as a consultant and learned a lot then, because I know working as an internal employee of companies, you know, we may have 4 weeks to do a pen test, whereas if you're a consultant, you may have 40 hours to do that same pen test. So you kind of have to learn quick and make the most of that time.
Yep.
So one of the things I've been really impressed too is over the past year of the pandemic, you know, a lot of the red team fit has been out there, and just kind of your transformation. And I really like to talk about that, because I mean, at one point, first time I was familiar with you, you look like the guy, the hacker in the basement. Now you look like someone who walk on the set of 300, starting to get abs and stuff, getting all jacked and getting strong. Very, very impressive that you put that much effort into it. And another thing I have to compliment too is just to see, it's kind of a trait with people that are successful in life. They can do multiple things and do multiple things at a high level. So why don't you talk about kind of what motivated you to start your journey last year and kind of share that experience with us?
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I want to hit on, that I think you hit on a very key comment on, people that are successful do things at a very high level, right? That's one trait that I think, you know, to home in on your skills is going all in on something, right? And giving it your all. I think that's important. It's all in your head. It's all in your mind. You know, your mind is an amazing thing. So if you commit to something and it is your passion, your drive that we talked about before, you know, you will be successful at what you do. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, like I used to always think, and this is still true, but you know, some of the folks that we have in our industry are just absolutely amazingly brilliant, talented minds, like just incredible people, right? And you know, I'd always say to myself, there's no way I would ever be a Bruce Potter or a Phil Zimmerman or a Fyodor or, you know, any of those guys, right? Like, they're just way too brilliant. They're just, you know, savants, and that's true, right? They're absolutely amazing. But at the same time, you know, I did hit a certain level in my career, right, where I was at that type of level, where I was on the stage of DEF CON and I was on the stage of ShmooCon and I was presenting all these tools. My tools were super public, you know, public, and I was paving the way forward in security just like they did, right? And And that was all because of my mindset of, I want to, you know, apply myself and be successful at everything that I do. And when I go in on something, I don't just go in, I go all the way in. This includes bourbon, by the way. doesn't mean you do, I never had a drinking problem, but you know, like for example, I really enjoyed bourbon. So like I would start collecting bourbon before you know it, my wife's yelling at me because I've taken up 16 closets, you know, full of bourbon. So, I don't actually drink anymore at all. Very rare occasions, still will, but, you know, for the whole health kick thing, I don't do it anymore. But, for the fitness thing, I had ran into, issues my entire life. I was obese from, you know, pretty much, 7 years onward, in my life. So, and I'd always struggled with weight. I was definitely not the cool kid in school. My parents were on the, you know, lower income side. So we moved from place to place to place to place. They were amazing parents, by the way, the greatest parents ever. But lower income and really had to bounce from job to job to job to make sure that they can take care of me and from a family perspective. And so I moved around a lot. I wasn't eating healthy. I'd always be, you know, overweight. And one year, I remember I was 17 years old and I think it was a senior in high school. And I walked into the recruiting station to join the Army. And there was and this is nothing against the Army, by the way. Love the Army, love the Air Force. Went to go join the Army and there was a guy that was fairly overweight on the Army side. And he was complaining about how he hated being in the Army and all this other stuff. I'm like, whoa, like, I don't want to join this if that's what I want to go. And so I started walking out, I'm not going to join the service if this is how it's going to be. And I see these like five, like just jacked, ripped Marine guys walking in step, you know, like if they were to like, you know, flex, their entire Charlies would like rip off into a million pieces. And I was like, man, I want to be like these guys. These guys look like badasses. Right. And so I walked into the Marines and I signed up that day to be a Marine. And so joined the Marines and, did two tours in Iraq, one in Bahrain. And so what was great about, that experience is that, you know, I was able to cut the weight off, right? You know, you have a regimented cycle where you're always going through things and, they keep you in line. And it's really hard to not be, you know, at least slender. I would consider myself like skinny fat, right? Was the best way of putting it, right? I didn't really work out a ton, but I was able to keep it off because I was doing cardio and stuff like that. Anyways, you know, get out of the Marines, all of a sudden now ballooned right back up again. And my max weight, I was 318 pounds. So 6'4", 318 pounds. And I started having some major health issues. One was specifically heart related. And so my doctor says to me, he's like, listen, you're 20. I think I was 27 when I got diagnosed with it. He's like, you're 27 years old. You should not be having these issues at this time. It is 100% your weight. And he's like, but we're going to have to go and we're going to have to do heart surgery. And it was right around the same time I'm starting a new family and I'm looking at my kids and I'm like, man, like I'm already having all these problems at my age. If I want to be around for my family, I really need to make a change in my life. And so I did the heart surgery, was successful. And then after that, I vowed, listen, I'm not going to go back to this again. I'm going to fix this and be there for my kids. And so I started losing all the weight. Through a lot of different ways, and eventually was able to kick all the weight right as COVID was happening, this is about a year ago, right? I started noticing myself getting out of control again. I started, going up in weight and I couldn't control it. And I started doing things like doing keto and everything else. And that just wasn't working for me. And I'm just like, man, what am I doing wrong here? And as I get older, it's not going to get any easier. And I'm like, man, in order for me to do this, I needed to commit, just like I committed to my career, just like I committed to my family. I got to commit to this. And I really made that mind flip switch and I'm fully committed. It has been amazing progress over the past year. I'm putting on a ton of muscle. I'm running 5 minute miles. You know, it's impacted my family too. My family eats, healthy nutrition, nutrition wise. They understand the benefits of it. I understand how my body works. I'm in a system that I know I can do the rest of my life. I might not be powerlifting the rest of my life, but I have a system that I could use to stay within the confines I need to stay healthy and to stay, as young as I possibly can. So, I really made a big turn in my life to make a change to say, I'm going to be there for my kids and I'm not going to let myself get back to that ever again.
That's very awesome. And one of the things I have to give you credit to is, you know, and also share with our listeners. I mean, it's not really more, not some, we don't really normally go that much into fitness, but I think it's worth sharing because, you know, this type of work we do, a lot of people are sedentary. They're not getting activity and it's really prone to getting out of shape. I mean, I remember back when I was doing manual labor, when I was younger, it was easier to stay lighter and in shape because you're moving around. So I think it's definitely interesting that we share that. But a good point too is like what Dave is doing is he's focusing on his health. I mean, the aesthetics, looking good is part of it, but it's one tip to take from Dave is, you know, it's about being healthy and he's watching what he eats, doing the exercise to be in optimal health. And that's the key. You're just, if you do all that, you're going to look good by design.
Yep. Yeah. And what I didn't realize, you know, you hear all of the diets. And by the way, you know, you're absolutely spot on the side of security. Security is not necessarily conducive to health, right? You know, you're sitting at your computer all day, you know, it's a high stress environment in a lot of cases, especially if you're like an incident response or other areas and you don't make time for yourself. I had a friend recently say, you know, to me, he's like, I just, you know, he's through a direct message. He's like, I really appreciate coming out with Red Team Fit because I never took care of myself. I never looked at it as taking care of myself. I always looked at it as I needed to get my work done. And I just only focus on that and my family and never took time for myself. And you really need time for yourself. If you want to be there for your family and for your kids or for your loved ones or whatever, you have to take time for yourself to put it into yourself to stay healthy. And I think that's the biggest thing is that I never understood the fundamentals, the foundation of how my body works. You would see all these diets like keto and, you know, paleo and all these other ones. And I'm not saying, you know, those aren't good structures to go through, but you know, if you look at it, it's like, it's something crazy, like 96% of diets fail. And that's insane, right? Like you have a 4% chance of being successful when you do that diet. So why is that failing? Well, it's because it's not sustainable for the rest of your life. So you have to figure out what works for you and just understanding macronutrients around proteins, carbohydrates, and fats and how that breaks down into energy versus, you know, muscles versus protein synthesis and, you know, micronutrients and all these things. It might sound complex, but it's actually really easy. It's basically at its term, calories in versus calories out. So, you know, if you eat less calories than you burn, you know, you're going to lose weight and you're going to feel great. You know, and if you start to tone in on what you're eating, you're eating healthy, like eating whole foods, like 80% of my protein and my macronutrients come from whole foods, you know, chicken, broccoli, fruits, whatever you want, you know, carbohydrates are awesome. I eat 300 grams of carbohydrates a day now. You know, it's how your body is designed to operate and work. And it's unfortunate that the way our diets are designed today, especially with the type of foods that are out there, it's causing this pandemic that we see today for obesity in our health. And that's amplified with COVID and everything else. I mean, we're very unhealthy society around the world, you know, let alone just here in the United States. So there's a lot of things that we can do to really prevent that, to help our bodies out and to be there. You know, I'll tell you, I'm 39 years old, which is crazy. I'm almost in my 40s. I've never felt better in my entire life than I do today. And including my 20s, my early teens. You know, you don't have to get older and be like, hey, I have to settle for this. You can fight that aging as much as you want and it's going to work. You know, it's just a matter of understanding what your body is.
Yeah, I agree with that because I myself turn 56 next month. And when I see people my age, I'm like, man, am I that old? And it's not,
you're not,
what the shape they're in is not normal because 50 years ago or so, a lot of guys my age was the shape because people's jobs were more physical and Absolutely. There wasn't as much fast foods and all that. And I like the point you make about, I've done keto before and it's worked great, but some of those diets are hard to sustain because there's so much restriction. When you can't hardly eat carbohydrates, then sometimes you just throw in the towel and say, you know, I want to enjoy what I eat.
Yeah. You know what? I still eat what I want to eat. I eat Pop-Tarts. I you know, I'll go and eat some fast food. I'll, you know, eat cake at a birthday thing. That's fine, right? That you can eat that stuff as long as it's within moderation and it fits into your caloric breakdown of what you want to accomplish. So, you know, you just got to be mindful of it. You can't sit there and pound 7 slices of pizza every day and expect that you're going to look like a model, right? You know, it's just not how it works, you know, and you're not going to feel like one either. You know, that's the thing. It's not aesthetics. It's how you feel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your body's just literally science and a machine. And if you understand how that operates, you can navigate it to be successful as you want to with it. It's not, you know, and don't get me wrong, there are things like genetics and things that make it easier for folks or not. Or, you know, I just learned recently, I listened to a podcast. It's the Huberman podcast, called the Huberman Labs podcast. It's phenomenal. It's a neurobiologist, neuroscientist from Stanford, and he breaks down how your bodies work. And they actually did a study on people that have higher metabolisms. And I put higher metabolisms in quotes because, you know, people that are super skinny, they'll always say, well, they have a high metabolism. And that may be true. But what they found is that largely most people that maintain a really lean physique are because they're fidgeters, like in their whole life. Like literally they're fidgeting their legs, they're fidgeting their arms, you know, they're bouncing, you know, they're actually burning anywhere, you know, upwards between 700 to 2000 additional calories a day just by fidgeting. And that was like largely proven by science. And it's like, you know, so like all these things that are just minor, you know, that makes such a big difference in our body. So I've started fidgeting myself. Like I'll just fidget on purpose because I want to burn 700 more calories. But, you know, so it's like, you know, the things that you learn about this stuff is just really incredible. And the science behind it is just amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool because, you know, and then when you get into some of the biohacking stuff too,
it's incredible.
You know, this stuff by Dave Asprey.
Yeah.
The Bulletproof Executive. Some of that stuff is kind of interesting.
Yeah, the biohacking stuff and understanding, like Huberman actually gets into, he thinks in the next 10 to 15 years, there's actually going to be a pill for weightlifting where, you know, because you look at your, mRNA receptors mm-hmm. are, you know, that are very similar to what you see from the vaccines we get. There's instructions or blueprints that your body basically uses. And there's chemicals that we release when we actually lift muscles, you know, and it causes mRNA blueprints to basically synthesize and repair muscles and build more muscles. They've already been testing this out of how to send blueprints basically to build additional, you know, protein synthesis that occurs for muscle building. It's like, you know, it's crazy how this stuff is getting advanced. And, you know, there's a lot of talk right now on anti-aging. There's a scientific research paper that came out last week that in mice, they're able to produce anti-aging effects through gut bacteria or microbes. So like basically they think that age is directly related to how your gut bacteria is, and you can actually reverse the cycling of age based on your gut, which is crazy. You know, like, so we're learning all this stuff about our bodies, and there's so much information out there coming out every day. It's just, I don't know. It's really fascinating to me. I don't know. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. That's one of the things I like too, because whenever, you know, years ago back, like in high school and stuff, science was always my favorite subject. I'd always check out science books. And then over the years from powerlifting and just nutrition in general, I always enjoyed learning about that stuff. I even did one of the DNA telomeres tests several years ago that tested the age of my DNA. And I really don't know how accurate that test is. It was back in 2017. And supposedly according to that test, I had the DNA age of like a 20-year-old, which I was
nice.
I didn't expect that, someone to have type 2 diabetes. But one of the things that's helped me over the years is the lifting and the supplements and trying to eat right, making those efforts.
Yeah.
I've had a compounding effect over the years. It's something I've kept up with, and it's just the stuff helps keep you young. And
absolutely. And to be there again for your family, right? That's the,
yeah,
the
definitely
part. Yep.
That's the main thing. And be able to be there healthy for your family, because you take other people that may be around. Because one of the things, you know, medical science has done is it's kept unhealthy people alive longer. Because you see people that's had heart attacks and, you know, type 2 diabetes, and they got all these drugs. It's just basically that's keeping them alive. So the quality of life as you stay older is important. So how did this stuff affect you from mental clarity? How did this affect you with your mental performance?
My gosh. So, you know, what really actually started impacting me, both when I was 315 pounds and when I started gaining weight again this last time, is that I was experiencing a lot of like brain fog, a lot of issues around drive and passion. I wasn't happy, right? You know, it was, you know, I was happy where I was at in my career. I was happy in life with my family, but, you know, focusing on things, getting things done, energy levels, you know, clarity around things all just went to an all-time low for me. And, you know, I had, you know, seen studies like, hey, take some magnesium or do this or do that, or take these drugs or do that pharmaceutical stuff that you can get from your doctor. And, you know, one thing I could say is that my mental acuity and my ability to process things now, again, has never been greater than it has now than it was before. You know, again, when your body's healthy, it's a direct part, directly correlates to your nervous system, to your immune system, to your brain functions. Everything is tied to the health of your body. And so if you're, you know, struggling with, staying healthy, it's a cataclysmic effect to every other aspect of your body itself. It's just such a self-contained ecosystem that for me, you know, I've been able to get so much more accomplished. And again, you know, it's been awesome. It's been such a great experience. It completely has changed my life for sure.
Well, that's great. It's definitely been a great example, and I've been impressed, you know, because you see a lot of people get into it and they'll lose some weight and they gain it back, but it's just, you know, great that you've, you know, evolved what you're doing to steadily improve. And that's pretty awesome.
You know, just to give you an understanding of my mindset now, and this is crazy. Like, so I don't take many breaks. I'll do a deloading phase where, like, you know, you use maybe 60-70% of the weight that you typically would use to give your muscles a little bit of a break. But I was pushing myself extremely hard. And when I went to Vegas a couple weeks ago for the whole Black Hat thing, I left early. We rented a place off of the strip just for our team, small group of our team, to do our training for Black Hat. And it's always good to have a group setting to work together and everything else. So we basically stayed there the entire time, and then we all flew out. We didn't do Black Hat or DEF CON, just with everything going on. And what was interesting about that is one of our guys there, Paul Berklin, one of our folks on the red team, he's a huge into strongman competitions and things like that. So we found this amazing gym. It was called Smash Fitness in Vegas. It's incredible. This place is like a lifter's dream. I've never been to such an awesome place before in my life. It's like, oh, you know, and you get there. And so, you know, I'm more of a traditional lifter for everything. I don't get into the strongman stuff. And so Paul was sending me all this stuff. And so, you know, like I got into like throwing these like 600-pound tires and like, you know, lifting logs and all this other stuff. It was like something in me like went to like a million years ago, my caveman instincts. I'm like, pick up big thing, throw big thing, you know, like, and it was just like this most amazing feeling ever, you know. It was like, it was awesome. And so like I killed myself that week, and I my body just couldn't take it. And I had gotten to a point to where like everything was hurting. I had, you know, I definitely overexerted myself in a number of cases just because of that. And so my trainer was like, hey, you need to take 4 days off. Like you have to take 4 days off just to give your body some time. Cause like you're going to, it needs it. Trust me. Like everything you're complaining about is because you're an idiot basically. So, and so I took 4 days off, and I got to tell you, I felt so miserable that I could not work out or lift or do anything, that it was just like, I was like a sad panda. Like and as soon as I hit Monday, I actually woke up 3 hours early on Monday so that I can get my workout in, because I couldn't wait. So like, I was like waking up. I was like, you know, it becomes part of your life and your routine and what you look for. And I enjoy going and hitting the gym. It's like my time now. It's like I throw some music on or a podcast, and I'm taking time for myself. And then you start to expand things. Like I went through a breathing instructor recently, and just going through breathing exercises. Like I'm like, I would never do that before. And I'm like, that is actually really amazing, like relaxing and crazy and intense at the same time. So it's just, you get to learn these things, and you get to learn about yourself. And it's just been awesome. I love it. I love every minute of it. And I can't wait to go lift again. Today's my rest day. So I went and got a little walk in, but other than that, I can't wait to get my lifting in tomorrow.
Well, that's great. That's, you know, you've definitely developed a healthy lifestyle. And for the people listening, it's a lifestyle. If you want to be healthy, you have to make it your lifestyle. Just like Dave has done.
Same thing for your career. Making your lifestyle too, right? You know, and one thing to be, I'm going to clear up is don't make your life your work, you know, but make your work your passion, right? And balance that. And that's the thing that you can be successful in this industry with. And that's been what's been very successful for me. Everything that I apply myself to, I don't want to disappoint my manager, my people in front of me. I want to be the best employee that I possibly can and provide value so that I can continue to grow my career and take as many opportunities to learn. I would take all the jobs. Like I didn't care. As a consultant, I was putting in 8 hours a week, and that's not something I'm proud of, by the way. You don't need to do that. But I was putting in 8 hours a week because I wanted to do it. Like I'd be on an airplane coding. I'd get off the airplane, I'd code. You know, like I enjoyed that. It was me building my career and starting my career off, and because I wanted to be successful at everything that I did. If you have that mindset, whether it's, you know, in life and working out, or that's in your career, as you're going, things balance that. But you will be successful at what you do. There's no question about it. You will be noticed. You will be promoted. You'll be successful at what you do. You can start your own company, whatever you want to do. You can be successful at anything you do, for sure.
Yeah. A couple things, just comments too, is I just really think it's cool to see people like yourself that have been successful entrepreneurs. That's really great. And one of the things too, also I like to share as well, the kind of an analogy that I've kind of been using lately, and be interested to get your thoughts on it. So, you know, like when you're working out and stuff, you have to schedule deloads and schedule your training. And I think that can kind of be applied to preventing burnout in your career. You need rest from studying and from work.
Yeah, rest for yourself, rest for your brain. It's critical. I can't emphasize enough. You know, I used to brag, you know, about how much I worked, right? I used to be like, oh my gosh, you know, like I'm working 80 hours a week and I'm doing all this, I'm getting all this done. And then there's, you know, the guy that's working 40 hours a week next to me doing just as much as I am because he's automated everything I've done. You know, it's like, are you really working greater that way? Or, you know, is there ways for you to work smarter? And taking time for yourself and being there for your family, your kids, your loved ones, you know, but enjoy what you do, you know, make it fun, make it exciting. Work should be fun. Work should be an awesome place that you go to and just have a great time doing it. Don't get me wrong. You know, you still have to write reports and stuff like that that you may not like doing, but man, when you pop that box or you get a successful shell and you're showing that company everything you've done and your hard work and effort, I mean, that's the most rewarding thing ever, right?
Yeah. You figure something you spend at least 40 hours a week at, if you enjoy it, it makes life a lot better. So we're getting down to the end of the show, and I just wanted to open it up to you if you have anything that you'd like to talk about that we didn't touch on.
No, I think that's all the major things. You know, I think anybody that's looking at getting into this industry, it's such an amazing industry, right? And it's such an advancing and moving target, and it's probably going to feel overwhelming for you because there's so much out there. You know, just know that you're never going to know everything. I learn something new every single day. Do what you enjoy doing. Find that profession, that niche that you like doing, and make that your hobby / profession. And you'll be successful at whatever you do. Like I remember when I first got out of the military, you know, I was, you know, I loved the hacking piece of it, right? And I loved the pen testing parts of it. I loved breaking apart code and figuring things out. And that's an exciting piece. But I also know friends that, you know, are like, hey, I really love living in web applications or in a debugger or, you know, going on the hunt for, you know, bad actors or things of that effect. So find what you like doing. And then make that your own, right? You always hear that, you know, you're jack of, you know, or master of none, you know, what's that? Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
So it took me a second there, but become a master of something. You know, learn that specific thing that excites you, and share that work. You know, be excited about it, and that'll definitely make it. That'll definitely make your career more successful. And again, you know, starting my own business, you know, people look at Trusted Second Binary Defense now, you know, combined, you know, we have over 300 and some employees. And, you know, that started from the basement of my house. I had no idea how to register an LLC or that I needed, you know, cyber liability insurance or that, you know, I needed HR or whatever. I had no idea how to run a business, no clue. But again, I applied myself to it, made it and figured it out and made it work. And, you know, you can do anything you want to as long as you commit to doing it to yourself, and you'll be successful. Just believe yourself. Trust your gut. And that's the biggest thing I can say is my gut has never let me down. I might have made mistakes, but I've never been wrong. And that's an important piece there, right? Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, but I've been wrong a whole bunch of times. But, you know, I've never been wrong about trusting my gut and doing what I want to do for my life, right?
Oh, yeah. Just one. Thanks for being my guest. It was awesome. I enjoyed the conversation, and I look forward to one day talking to you in person. But
oh, yeah,
one of my mentees and former students did have one question that they wanted me to ask you, since, you know, everyone knows your normal attire for newscasts and stuff. Are you wearing pants?
I am not wearing pants right now. I refuse to fit that corporate bill. So if you ever see me on the news on any of the major news organizations, I may be wearing a suit on top, but I'm definitely not on the bottom. And my general attire is, in fact, it's actually really unusual that I'm wearing sleeves right now. I had to go meet some folks this morning in person, so I actually wore sleeves to that. But normally I'm wearing a cutoff t-shirt and definitely no pants. So no pants.
Well, thanks again, Dave. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
It is an honor. So thanks, everyone, for joining, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks, everybody.
BugCrowd's award-winning platform combines actionable contextual intelligence with the skill and experience of the world's most elite hackers to help leading organizations identify and fix vulnerabilities, protect customers, and make the digitally connected world a safer place. Learn more at bugcrowd.com.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hacker Factory podcast with Philip Wiley. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itsbmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.